do it.
Yeah.
We should be planning about every meeting, yeah.
Very healthy colon.
What?
Get a healthy colon, I think so. I mean, you guys are incredible. I got a doctor's report this morning, I'm taking all of your cholesterol.
Well, we've got nuts, raisins, cinnamon, honey, everything you could ever want.
Ever want in your yogurt?
Yeah.
Everything you'd ever want in your yogurt.
She's a lot. She's going to work. She's working. She's been working hard on it. She working with all of them.
In the last 2 weeks, have you done something to improve the oil? Have you added cinnamon, or have you purchased a different brand of oil?
It's Walmart's great value.
It tastes great.
It's Walmart's great value.
It tastes great.
Isn't that what they're
saying? It has a hint of cinnamon
or something.
It could be that life is just more exciting and
yeah,
you know,
it's coming
potent to you now.
I'd like to get to
the ball's dirty.
It's the new Ronnie. He doesn't care if his shirt is malfunctioned.
Got room for a family of four Mexicans in
those pants.
Before we start, I need to apologize to Gary for what I said Sunday night. Gary is Gary serves a weird purpose in this group. Because he says what most people think. And so therefore his role is absolutely vital. And it's probably in one sense it's more important than what I do. I'm not trying to acquiesce to Gary here. I'm just saying I want you to be free to scream and yell at me at every minute. That I had, you know, I told you out there on the porch that if I had it to do over again, I would have never said what I did Sunday night. Because what I said, I had assumed that you had talked about. So.
Well, had I talked about it, I certainly wouldn't have used your words.
Oh, and I'm sure that's true.
I guess just the, you know, the idea of my marriage is a joke. That resonated a little too deeply.
Well.
I couldn't abide that.
And you're right to bring it up. And I can only say I apologize.
You
know, no, you shouldn't. I only wish that you would have said it Sunday night.
You know how I'm slow. It takes me a week to figure out. I don't know.
Well, whatever.
At the moment, but I had nothing in me to respond. It was just like I was too blown away. I couldn't even figure out what to say. Maybe I should have said something.
All you have to say is that hurt. You don't have to have the words for it. And the thing that nobody can understand about me is I don't think about what I say. And I would be lost if I did. Because then I would have to go back into the morass of my mind and calculate what I'm going to say. And I can't do that, Gary. That would be death. I would be dead.
Well, I think in our conversation on the porch, I believe that's the first time I really understood what you just said, that moving ahead, not letting your mind be your buddy, whatever, is your salvation.
Nobody believes me when they say I don't think.
Yeah, well, a hard thing to understand.
Because it's so odious to me. I can't rebuild that which I've destroyed. And if I have to think about anything, then I am lost because I can't do any of this in the scriptures. And so if I have to be anything other than be, then I'm lost. It's hard to understand that because that's all most people do is think. Concern yourself and how you're going to do this and what you're going to do, and whether you're mad about this or whether this is bothering you. Or I can't return to that. And because it's obvious. I've at least in their minds, I've wrecked a lot of people's lives. I mean, my God, I would never have destroyed that Episcopal funeral if I would have thought about it. I don't say things to make people mad at me. And so anyway, but I do apologize for the way that happened and for what I said to you, and I know it had to hurt. My only prayer is that you would have the freedom to say that without worrying about getting the words right. And really this is what Passover is about. It's about the idea that if we say what's there, we will hurt each other. But somehow we've got to come out of that because that's what we've done our whole lives. And therefore we learn not to say what's there. We learned acceptable behavior. We learned how to follow our own guidelines of what social correctness is. And it was pounded into us. We went to our stupid cousin's party and our parents made us say that you had a good time. You know, a million other things. And Passover is, by definition, it's the coming out of that and risking everything every minute. Every time I open my mouth, I risk that every one of you will leave. And that's the risk of faith. Because for me, and I know for you, that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And it can't be of faith if I consider it. Because then I'm weighing the options. I'm essentially trying to gain some advantage. I can't do that. I mean, that's not true. I can do that. I was very good at doing that when I was in politics. But I can't do that as a believer. And what I'm trying to do is, my prayer is that you will see that you can't do that either. You can't rebuild that which has been destroyed. You can't revert to any of the old mechanisms in order to accomplish something. It's the risk of being. And there'll be fire. As Bloom said, the fist fight stage. There'll be broken teeth. And it's not polite society. Anybody have any response?
If you try not to hurt people's feelings, you can't do that. You just can't do it because it spirals. There's got to be the ability to hurt somebody's feelings and the ability to apologize and ask for forgiveness, and there's got to be the ability to forgive, or else go live alone.
For everything. And it sounded like that wasn't the time or place to say that. In front of, you know, that's something you pull someone aside.
Well, again, that's fine. But I can't do that. I can't. It's not that I can't next time pull them aside and talk to them or something. But the point of it is I can't think about it that I can apologize for doing it. I can say if I had to do over again, I would. We used wisdom, but I can't promise you next time I'm not going to blurt out something else. Wisdom and prophecy are the two witnesses that are there in your mind. I mean, they're the only two people that have never been, that have never died, Enoch and Elijah. Wisdom and prophecy. And the whole process of this is we must be dependent on the Father and His wisdom and His prophecy, and we're going to screw up just like we do every day.
I cannot imagine not thinking about, you know, what to say. And just like Harry said, you know, you try and avoid, you know, hurting people and stuff, you know, like, you know, you take me for an example. Stuff that we've been through, or the body's been through with me, and it's like, oh my God, you know, it's always after the fact that I realize that, you know, how, you know, people, you know, are affected. But it's like, you know, when I'm in that moment, when I'm in my craziness, you know, consciousness. Say, because for me, you know, it's like I'm always trying to avoid, you know, getting in trouble or having conflict or, you know, people mad or upset or hurting somebody's feelings or something, whatever, or even, you know, having my own feelings hurt or something or being upset. You know, I do all that I can, you know, to try to avoid that.
And how's that gone for you?
It has not gone well. It didn't work worth the credit.
Well, why do it?
I don't know. It's like Gary said, I'm hardwired and programmed.
You're obligated.
This reminds me of, for me this is very real. You can sit at home on the couch and watch football on TV, or you can go to a stadium and sit in a stadium and watch football, or you can even stand on the sidelines and watch football. And it's not the same as being in the game. There's just no, there's no commonality. When you're on the ground, getting hit in the face, and the clock's ticking, it's completely different.
And this is why you, you know, it says not many of you should be teachers, because in many ways you will offend everyone.
I wasn't privy to what y'all talked about on the porch, but you said you apologized, but, you know, has there been forgiveness sought and forgiveness given?
Well, I asked him to forgive me, and I assume he did, or he wouldn't be in here.
Ask me again.
Get down on your knees, sucker.
Nick my boots.
Fresh book.
That's a cheap shot.
Sometimes I think we forget.
Let me finish.
I'm sorry. I thought you were finished.
Almost. The only thing real to me this morning, what happened or didn't happen, wasn't even the issue. It was like, because I was gone.
That's why I told you I was happy for what you did out there. I mean, I didn't like hearing it, but I was happy that you said it.
But yeah.
Okay. I think since we're talking forgiveness, apologies and things, I think sometimes we forget that an apology is an act of contrition. And I'm not talking the social apology when you walk in with the worst case of bed hair I've ever seen in my life and I laugh and say I'm sorry later and I'm still laughing. It's when you go over and above the top. It's when you start cranking on something pretty minor and it gets over the top and you hurt a lot of feelings or you hurt somebody's feelings. Then you have to, then you go back and apologize. But once you've made that apologize, that does not give you the right to go back and do it again. You need to realize what you've done and not to try not to do it again.
Well, again, the problem is trying not to do something again.
Well,
the problem is that we.
No, that's not, to me, that's not a problem. That means you don't understand the act. But. And I know you and I are going to differ on this considerably. But that's how I think of it.
No, I understand. I understand that our entire life we've learned a series of social mores and what to do and how to behave better and how to say it next time and how to prevent her from hurting somebody's feeling the next time. I'm saying to you that all has to go because you have to take the risk of just being instead of thinking about being.
It's all out of obligation. It's not out of love.
Sometimes obligation is love.
Never. obligation and love are mutually exclusive.
Why?
Because the fruit of obligation is debt.
Well, obligation is conditional and love is unconditional.
I mean, it's our words for love, but again, love is always laying down your life for the sake of another. Love is not calculating. Love is just being.
Well, love, the focus of love is the other person. Obligation is the focus is on you because, you know, I'm doing this thing because I'm obliged to do it. You may do the exact same thing that, you know, that someone would see it and they would see exactly the same behavior, but one would be...
Well, I want to...
Let me say something right here because this is real heavy on me. That right now I can...
I just can't push it closer.
It was heavy. Very. I from the bottom of my heart can say I protect your right to have done what you did. And I don't despise it. Because it, as mad as it made me and as much as it hurt or whatever, it was like a shovel in the dirt. It turned up. Well, a whole lot of things I couldn't even identify. But I understand that part of what we've said about having to forgive somebody who will definitely protect their right to have done what they did.
Yeah, otherwise you can't forgive. You haven't forgiven from the heart. Yeah.
Well, trying, like in this specific instance, trying not to do something again, it sounds like a good thing. But there's no end to it. It just multiplies. It read and read and read, and there's no end to it.
Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Now, the word foolishness there means inane, it can mean impossible, it can mean that can't work, it can mean that can't be, or it can mean that's just nuts. It's a word in Greek that means just about anything that you think, well, that's crazy. Preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Now why? Because we, again, ever from the day of our first moment of self-awareness, we have automatically conceived of and thought about every aspect of what we're going to do next. The rarest possible thing for the human to do is to do something without thinking about it. Okay? Now, so that's been the basis of our life. Now that's the predicate. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are being saved, is what it says, it is the power of God. Now, it is the ability of God, the efficacy of God, not power like like dynamo. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. And again, that's what we've done. We've done by nature that which is prudent. That's what we've done. None of us have done what wasn't prudent to us. Otherwise, we wouldn't have done it. You understand? Everything that we've done. Our entire life, I can look at my whole lifetime and it was based on prudence. What would get me what I wanted? What would get the result that I desired? I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God, and Christ the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Now then he uses the proof text from what this predicate he's just established. That the only thing we preach is the cross. And then look, and his proof text is the people that were there. He said, "Foresee your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are." And the whole point of this, think about all of the prudence. And I mean, my God, if any of us would have been successful at any of this stuff, if any of it would have worked, we wouldn't be here. This is the place of the off-scouring of the world. This is the place for the people that have failed. And you can convince yourself all day, I haven't failed, I just had bad luck. It's like when I spent that time homeless, under the bridge. I can hear, I'll never forget it. There's this guy that was sitting there and he was round the... I'll tell you one goddamn thing. We sound like Harry. I'll tell you one goddamn thing. If I were president, this is what I would... This is how I'd do it. And he's a friggin' homeless bum living under the bridge, and yet his wisdom is so profound that he is going to be an advisor to the president. Well, I'm telling you this. The highest that wisdom and prudence can take you is that, my God, it's chaos. And so for me, I have to take the risk that thought process has gone. I have to just be. And in being, I will offend many. And if they stay around, I will apologize. I can't stop and think what I'm going to do next, nor can you. You can't stop and think what you're going to do the next time. You can't stop and think about all of the wisdom that you learned about how you do stuff and what this means to you and all this. It's meaningless. Because, and you're, all of us are proof texts that it's meaningless. We wouldn't be here. Does that communicate? It's the risk of faith that is us, not prudence, not figuring out how I'm going to do it the next time. It's the risk that says, I have been perfected by one offering. It's my life is eternal life. And I don't revert to that which I've destroyed, even my glasses, for the next step. I can't. I'd rather die. And I mean that from everything in me. Now, if you see what we've been talking about this morning, this is exactly what's necessary for Passover. Do you know that the Sabbath is, we were going to talk about the Sabbath in relationship to how it was fulfilled at Passover, but I'll do that. Do you know that the stricter rabbis that they considered the thought process work, so it was forbidden on the Sabbath? Now, the reason for it was that you could understand that the Sabbath isn't a day of the week, That was the picture of Christ, who is now the perfect Sabbath, and now we must totally enter into his rest, and every day is Sabbath, because every day is Christ. Now, I'll go in great detail, hopefully, in the next couple days, to show you that even your thought process about what is prudent and what is nice and what is the way to go and is work, and you have ceased from your own labor and have labored to enter into the rest or into the Sabbath. And if you haven't, then we've got a whole lot more to talk about. If you're not willing to cease from your own labor and enter into the rest, then we've got a bunch more to talk about. What?
I was just thinking that when you were talking, this verse where it says, let your speech always with grace. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to you ought to answer every man. Yeah, I remember you talking about salt. But that's the truth. What was
salt? Every sacrifice had to be salted. And salt is the component of eternity. So your speech has to have the component of eternity. Nothing timeless. I mean, nothing that's dependent on time. And it's seasoned with grace because that's what you live by. There's no judgment. There's only grace and mercy. So if what you're saying is time dependent, or to gig Gary, process dependent, then it's not seasoned with grace. I mean, seasoned with salt. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, it is good for nothing but to be trodden under the foot of men, which it will be. The salt is the only thing that makes you salty is that which is within you that is not time dependent, and the only thing that is Jesus Christ. If you don't know that he's in you, then none of this is going to make any sense to you anyway. If you still think you are becoming something, then you've got to do all of these devices. You've got to do all these little things. For me, I'm not becoming nothing.
The first time I heard to, you know, just be,
1991.
Yeah, I never heard that before, and you know, in all the little places that I've been and everything. And you've said it many times since then. And I thought about that, and it's like, you know, I thought I was just being, and you know, and I realized that, you know, I wasn't, and that, like, really don't know how to be, just be.
Well, because you spend your time thinking about being.
Yeah.
To think, to be means you have to abandon yourself. You have to leave you totally behind you. And that's the simplest thing in the universe to do.
But doesn't your mind at times ever go in like that, like say, take this, that comment you made? Is that, I'm asking, is that a form of judging? Because that's a thought. You're speaking what's there, but it's almost a speech of, I'm trying to interpret it. Is it speaking judgment? Because it's an opinion. Am I making any sense?
You're trying to get prepared for the next time. No, it's not that, no.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, you know what I mean? Because that's all the thing that you've talked, the thing I take out of here the most of anything is for me not to have any ought. Today, I don't hate my ex-wife today. That's a miracle. I mean, I can go into my house. I mean, Bojo and Pete know this. I mean, you know it. John, Joey Santa. I mean, I can go into my house. It was hell for years. I can go into my house today without any guilt and shame and say, hey, what's up, kids? You know, and hang out. I don't have to, you know, get remarried. But, and then you said, if you have any odd against anyone, you know, that was a big thing. Then the second big thing was, is that I'm always judging, you know, the judgment seat. And I'm thinking that when I make comments about people, I'm judging them, judging their situation, and I can't do that.
Wow, but can't, you're,
right?
You're trying to you've gotten you've left. Here's Christ walking across the street, you know, walking in this side of the street, and he's hungry. So he said, "I don't have any money." So that's the first thing that happened. And then he goes into then he sees there's a bank across the street, so he goes in and robs the bank. And then, I mean, not Christ, but you. And then while I'm in the bank, I'm going to rape this. The bank president's daughter, well, I'm robbing it, and then you tell him, well, I'm sorry, I raped you, and I'm sorry, I judged. The problem was way back here. It's even giving thought to what you or what anything is. I mean, it's just being, and let it be tested against the Word of God. That's the only thing to test it against, not my opinion about it. But again, I'm going to go think about that. No, that doesn't work like that. Because once you think about it, then you've given breath, you've enlivened this instead of Christ. Now, hopefully, everybody here knows that there is nothing that this thing is. It's you can't find anything out by thought.
Now, what is the verse about guarding our tongue? Our tongue is a poisonous venom. We have to guard it into, and what is, you know, how does that fit into what you're saying? Seriously. Like, I have to guard my speech, right? In James or something like that?
Oh, I know where it is, but it's showing you the futility of anything. It says, right after that, it says, be you a doer of the word and not a hearer only. For a hearer only is the one who looks into the perfect law of God or liberty and then sees himself, and then straight away he forgets. Then he goes out and tries to do it. Go to James, since we brought it up. If somebody has to leave, it's time passed. But. Chapter 1. Verse 22. But be you doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be, and again, there's a million sermons taught that stop right there. Right? Be a doer of the word. Go do something. Well, listen. Be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. And what that means, the glass is always, you're looking in the Bible to see what you should do about something. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. In other words, as long you only see Jesus wherever you look, you don't see yourself. You understand most people look at the world and everything about what does this mean to me? And even they look at the Bible and say, what does it mean to me? Well, then you can't be a doer of the word, you'll only be a hearer because you're looking for what you should do. And that's why I was laughing at you, is because your question had you as the center point. What should I do?
I see that.
And that makes you a hearer only and not a doer. A doer is. And if Christ isn't there, then you're going to get in all kinds of trouble. And even if he is there, you're going to get in trouble. But it's not your business. It's for you. It's not, no part of your life is your business. And if you make any part of your life your business, then you walk around and, well, this is what this means to me. Well, nobody gives a crap what it means to you. Well, this is what I think about that. Nobody cares. And especially nobody cares what I think about it. Everybody wants to be a, you know, you want to know what to do. Well, what do I do if I, well, that's, you're in the wrong subject. You never, it's not what you do, it's what he is. Am I communicating at all? That's why the Old Testament, the whole, look at hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times when it talks about doing anything, it's observe to do, observe to do, observe to do. That's why we were made, so what you hear is what you see is what you do. All right. Take a big guy. Tired of talking. We're going to talk about Sabbath tomorrow. Say one damn thing.
Depends on if you piss any more people.
Strict grammar.